Father, we just glorify you. We bless and praise your holy name. Great is your faithfulness. Unto all generations we praise you, Jesus. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. To 1,000 generations. Father, I thank you. Sure mercies of David. Father, I thank you for the great grace that came through Jesus Christ. And I thank you that the mercy that you gave David was exonerated. It was brought forth. It was exemplified. Exemplified. Jesus Christ. We love you. I ask you to remain standing as we go to prayer this morning. I want us to do something because it's not Memorial Day, but because it is Memorial Day, because the Holy Spirit prompted me. The Bible speaks distinctly about memorials, and it teaches us to honor. To honor our fathers and to honor those to whom honor is due. Tomorrow we get to celebrate. We get to do whatever because somebody paid a price for that. The beautiful thing about it is this. I've got a choice. You know, if I want to go into revival, I've got a choice. If I don't want to go into revival, or if I want to pray, or if I don't want to pray. The beautiful thing is, I've got a choice. There's been times where you've come so close to being here today without any choice. That choice being made by somebody else. If any of you adults ever want to look at this, or you older teenagers, with permission of your parents. This is called Auschwitz, the residence of death. I toured this a number of years ago when I went to Poland. I hadn't even seen the movie Schindler's List. I'd ask all of you to watch that at least one time with your older teenagers. But I saw the nucleus. I saw the exact form of Satan's best. When I went to at one part of Schindler's List, there's the rock quarry where a lot of slavery is taking place. I went there and toured that, but that's not the atrocities. The atrocities was here at a place called Auschwitz. They had Auschwitz 1 and 2, and then Birkenau was the Auschwitz 2, which it took us about 7 hours that day, I think, seven and a half hours. And you'll see my picture. I took pictures and stood beside different places. The gas chambers, the torture chambers, place where probably a million, maybe plus people, moms and dads, little children. The children survived many times because they were young enough to continue to work, but many of them were exterminated or died. And not to go into that too deep because of the mixture of the smaller ones. But the reality of that, as I walked, it took us all day to walk around those grounds. And I walked into many of those barracks where men and women, totally unclothed, would spend their whole winters. Most of them die, but they would bring train loads. There's a huge picture in here and in many museums of the tunnel of death or the entrance of death, the train of death that went in. At Birkenau or at Auschwitz I, the mini camp, they lied to the Jews and said, if you come in here and work, we're soon going to set you free. In fact, there was an inscription, not to be read by me because it was interpreted, but in German, work sets one free. And they promised them they would be set free, and they used them as guinea pigs. But thank God, thank God that our fathers, along with other fathers around the world, chose to give their life for freedom. Not just for those people's freedom, but I can tell you this, the evil axis, there was a personality, one man. He was a painter. He was a wall painter. And humanity was so desperate that they began to believe his insanity. And he took over a nation. And before it was over, millions of people were exterminated. Now somebody might say, well, that was in Europe. At the same time, the axis of evil was moving on the planet to take away this from us. A number of years later, I stood and a pastor that was a native of the island showed me the exact pass where the Japanese flew in through the mountains. Candy and I got on a barge and went across Pearl Harbor and stood on the decks of the Arizona, or what was, and 1,100 men, that was their grave. The enemy was wanting, the plans, they say, of the Japanese was to take out our South Pacific naval fleet, and then the next advancement was the shores of America. Had there not been something take place in the realm of intercessors and prayer warriors, this would have been taken from us. And how you spend your tomorrow would not be, oh, I'll either relax or I'll spend a couple of hours in prayer. You wouldn't have that choice. We curse America and we get mad that our income check or our Social Security check didn't come in on time or our disability check didn't come on time. What if somebody made all those choices for you?
Hallelujah.
Thank God for our forefathers. Hallelujah to God.
Blessed be the Lord.
Praise.
Blessed be the name.
Praise you, Jesus. I'm going to ask a number of men to come. Matt, would you come up here and hold this flag and pray? And I'm asking all of you to continue to stand. Matt's father, Matt was a military child for a number of years. His dad was a naval man, if you guys will turn that way. Matt, if you'll just pray, take your time. Pray for our nation. Pray for a revival. Pray whatever God says. Hallelujah to God.
Well, Father, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for what is in your heart for America. What was in your heart from the beginning, Lord. Before the foundations of the world, Lord, when you looked down through history, Lord, and saw a time, Lord. Lord, when you could create a nation from among praying men, Lord. Men that looked unto you, the Creator. To establish a government, Lord, a place of freedom. Established on your word, Lord, a place to launch from the gospel, Lord, a missions base, Lord, in the earth.
Yes.
God, I thank you for that desire is still there in your heart.
Yes.
Lord, that righteousness be established on the earth, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, how you've used America as an agent, Lord. And God, we ask you for that remnant that is seeking you, Lord, in a place of righteousness. That is praying in a place of repentance, Lord, for America.
Yes, Jesus. Yes.
God, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. God, I ask you to pour out the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Yes.
On the leadership of America, Lord. On the
yes.
praying church of America.
Yes.
That we would see you for who you are and respond, God. In righteousness and holiness, God. to live our lives before you, God, and to pray.
Yes.
To seek your heart, to fulfill that which is already there, God.
Thank you.
Father, I thank you that you never change.
Yes.
I thank you that there is no shadow of turning in you, Lord. Oh, Lord, and that your jealousy burns for America.
Yes.
Your jealousy, Lord, your great love, your fierce love burns yes. for America.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I lift up the praying church to you, God.
Yes.
And I ask you to ignite this thing, Lord, this yes, fire, Lord, Lord yes, this hunger Lord. And this desire, Lord, to find you and to seek your will. God, that mass repentance would come.
Yes.
Lord, that revival would come. Lord, that your church would stand as a true testimony to Jesus.
Yes.
That we would represent Jesus as he longs to be represented. And that the destiny of America will be fulfilled.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That which is in your heart. We give you all the glory and all the praise, Father. I thank you. I thank you for this, Lord. I thank you for the shed blood, Lord.
Yes.
Of soldiers, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Of those yes. that have fought for a cause, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you for that. I thank you for every person in here, Lord, whose family was a part of that, Lord, and the freedom that we have as a result, Lord. We give you glory. God, I lift up our leadership in this country today.
Yes.
And I lift up the armed forces,
yes.
God.
Hallelujah.
That we would see our purpose and we would see it clearly. Establish righteousness, to be an
yes.
instrument of justice
Hallelujah.
In the earth, God. But we worship you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. That's good. You served in the military, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to pray? I'd love for you to.
Father, we thank you that we were able to live in this country, to know freedom the way freedom is supposed to be.
Blessed be the Lord.
We thank you, Jesus, for coming. We thank you for the gospel that goes from the United States into the world. We thank you that we're allowed to preach freely in this country. We just thank you. We thank you for the lives that were laid down. And we thank you and praise you, Father, that our leaders should have to love this country, Father. And we thank you and praise you for the ability to elect people that love the country and love you, Father. We thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' holy name, we give you the praise and we give you the glory.
Hallelujah. Homer, I've watched you through the years as a leader to this community and to our kids turn the hearts, the mindset of the young people into a respect for the nation. And so God has given you an anointing in that area. So I'd like for you to just, whatever's there.
Father, we bless you. Jesus, we bless you and thank you.
Yes.
Jesus, we bless you.
Yes.
My heart's always been sensitive, Lord, to those that have fallen for our freedom.
Yes, Lord.
My heart's always been, Father, to respect this once God-fearing nation, Father. My heart's always been to teach these young men, Lord, to first and foremost to respect you and to honor Jesus through our living. To live, Father, according to godly gospel culture, Lord. There is no such thing, Heavenly Father, as a Hispanic culture or a Haitian culture or an African American culture,
right.
Father.
That's
we
right.
abide and live by the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes, hallelujah.
That is the only, Father, the only culture that really, really matters, Father, is that we live our lives according to the sayings and truth of Jesus Christ. And when it comes to this country, O Father,
yes.
When it comes to our forefathers, when it comes to representing what's right, Father, that these young men whom the Holy Ghost edifies, Father, would know that we live our life here on earth according to the gospel of one perfect Jew.
Yes.
Who stands yes. and lives forevermore.
Yes.
Persecuted for righteousness.
Amen. Father, I say.
Led as a lamb to the slaughter, but still remains.
Yes.
We await that trumpet, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
But until then, Jesus Christ, until then, Jesus, I'll stand forevermore preaching your gospel.
Yes.
Preaching the same message over and over again.
Yes.
And I say, Father, that this church, that these young men, that these young women live according to the gospel and the word of Almighty God.
Yes.
And live according to that word and that word alone. Because when it comes to you, Jesus, your word is the only inheritance in culture that matters.
Yes.
My opinion as a Mexican American and the culture that we've lived by before means nothing. It means nothing. The standard, the culture, the respect for God's word and for the millions of men that have shed their blood for my freedom. First and foremost, a memorial to you, Jesus. Is anytime yes. there's ever been liberation or there's been a shedding of blood.
Yes.
And my spirit is so liberated, Jesus, because of the blood that you shared for me. Just because you love me.
Hallelujah.
So I give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Jimmy, would you come and pray? Jimmy spent several years as a paratrooper.
Father, I thank you for the opportunity to serve my country. Even though I did not give my life, but I would have. Gladly. Yes, I would for the gospel. Father, I lift up the families that gave their sons and daughters for our freedom. Fill that void, Father, with joy and happiness. For the ones that gave their lives and stood for righteousness. To free the oppressed that are always under oppression. Not just by dictatorship, but the wiles of Satan, Father. I proclaim freedom. Not in just in this country, but in each and every country there is, Father. For those are our brothers and sisters that deserve the same freedom that we have. Freedom to live. Freedom to pray. Freedom to read the word. Freedom to go out and preach the gospel.
Hallelujah.
Father, I thank you for the opportunity to serve.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And as my commander-in-chief, I am grateful to serve in your army, Father. I thank you for that opportunity, Father. I thank you and I praise you, Jesus, for shedding your blood. I thank you for the shed blood of my brothers and sisters that fought for freedom and justice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Feel his pleasure. Hallelujah. Would you lift up your hands and give him all the glory? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. There's one that's coming back. All the armies are going to submit. They're going to beat all the weapons into peaceful instruments. He'll end it all. The last fighting is not yet over. There's a war coming that'll make all the wars look like just a playground. Then, praise God. He's going to rule forever. Why don't you take a few minutes to give somebody a great big hug? I want to say how much we appreciate all of you being here. And just for your simple, just praying for revival. Praying for one another. He does have a purpose, and we pray a lot in tongues around here. But He also wants you to pray in English. I like a church you go to that you tell them to pray in tongues so much, every once in a while you have to remind them to pray in English. It's scriptural. Paul said, I will pray. I deliberately pray in tongues, and I deliberately pray with my understanding. He wants you to add faith to intercessory. You're in intercession much of the time if you go to that place. Even if you're edifying yourself in tongues, you're in intercession for somebody, which is primarily you. Hallelujah. Well, I'm praying for somebody else. Not until a lot of dust and cobwebs get out of you. And it's not that He doesn't think you're so qualified. It's just that He wants to equip you. And then you'll pray and pray and pray, and He'll start laying other people's burdens on you. And you'll pray in tongues, and sometimes you'll just begin to pray in English, and you don't know why that person's standing out to you. Oh, man, I really feel sentimental towards this person today, or these people. Maybe it gives you a whole long list. It's not emotions. He's wanting to use you. Be sensitive to that. Pray in tongues and pray with your understanding also. Hallelujah. And if you're hearing Him ask you to pray for your pastor a lot, you're really hearing from God. You're the ones that are really, really hearing from God. I'm glad to have Mr. Carl Ellie in the house. Come up here, buddy. Isn't he handsome? He's preaching tonight. Ooh. You look good. This is one of the shirts you got yesterday?
No, I had this.
You had that one? All right, man. All right, you're not preaching this morning. Sit down. No, I'm just kidding. Man, he's got a tight arm. Woo! I had this guy, and this guy in my car yesterday riding around town. I know everybody thought there was a white guy trying to make a drug deal. I took him out to eat, and now I know that Homer and Rosie would be the richest people in this church had they not been feeding these black boys for 10 years. They can eat. I'm glad. They got good appetites. Yeah. He says, this one can. Yeah, he did. Maybe the thinnest one of the bunch can't eat the best, I think. They decided to split that. Not, you know, they had full meals, but they were going to pass it back and forth. I don't know that you got the better end of the deal. He ate a whole basket of bread at Olive Garden. The whole thing. And we lost it. I'm glad to have him. Up and coming warriors. Hallelujah. So Mr. Carl Ellie is going to be ministering tonight. And graduation is next week. So there'll be a bunch of our young people graduating from here and also from Palmetto. Is that right? Our beautiful Miss Ashton. She'll be graduating. And then Carl just graduated from Louisiana Monroe, but he's going back to play his last year of eligibility in football. So We'll probably have you up here next week walking the line with them. We want all of our seniors to be ready to receive a gift and a blessing from us, and let us honor you next Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Would you turn with me to the book of Jude? Hallelujah. Praise God. We're just going to continue right along the lines of where we're at this morning. Weren't those powerful prayers? Oh, Jesus, every single one of them. Intercessory prayers for our nation. And we're going to continue to talk this morning about intercessory prayer, as the Holy Spirit has introduced it already through these men that have prayed and you were backing them up. I'm going to ask you to intercede for me right now and just ask the Holy Spirit to help me in these next few moments. Father, I love you so much, and I love them. And I thank you so much for the grace of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus that is in this house. We're so thankful for the word that is in front of us. Lord, we're so thankful for one another. We thank you that you've given us a household of faith among the beloved. We ask you to guide and lead us into all truth. Your word is truth. Fill us in these days full of mercy and truth, mercy and grace. I receive their prayers for me, as it's done in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You're really going to feel like you went to church when we read a whole book of the Bible. You can just go home and say, man, I don't have to go to church for a while. Yeah. Hallelujah. This is surname Judas. Surname Judas. Jude for short, the adopted brother of Jesus Christ. And I love the way that he starts his book, because he makes no acclamation to being anything other than the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Jude, I remember him. I was in diapers. Mary was diapering my behind when I remember him running around the house as an older brother. He didn't start like that. Oh, I've got to tell y'all something about him, because I was raised in the same house with him. No, he starts it out right. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the brother of James. To them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. Ooh, say it again, say it again. I receive that on my head. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied. And I say to you, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware, who were before ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance that though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. We're going to address that in just a moment, but it's amazing that Jude brought that up. And the angels which were that kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Quick footnote here. He's not talking about that these angels that fell are enslaved in everlasting chains of darkness, like they're chained up somewhere. That's a misnomer. That's a misinterpretation. Else, how are they out here fighting us if they're chained somewhere? Along with other scripture, the correct interpretation is this. Once they crossed a grace line, that was it. They were, by their own volition, enchained themselves into a state of everlasting darkness. There was no repentance for them. They could not return back to their original habitation. That's where they're at. That's where they'll always be. There will never be an ultimate reconciliation. There are some religions that believe that God is going to change all of this and bring it back, and even Lucifer himself will repent. He's not going to repent. All the way to the end, God saw it and said, you'll never change. He says this, verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh. You understand what that's talking about. And are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, he's speaking presently, of these filthy dreamers that defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. They have run after the error of Balaam for reward. We could teach on all of these. And perished with the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about with winds, trees whose fruit withered, whose fruit are without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. This is amazing to me. Enoch, the seventh son from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. What an awesome, awesome thing that the grandson, the seventh son of Adam, gets a picture. This man's not born again. You know, all that Gary taught us about that, he was not demeaning the Old Testament. There's awesome. Those 39 books are there for a reason. He was simply telling us at the end of all that, as awesome as it is, looking unto Jesus. He's the greater. The seventh son from Adam. We're talking way back there. Saw Jesus coming in a vision with 10,000 of his saints. Saw him coming and prophesied of these men that would try to abort or try to abate, maybe is a better word, his coming in the last days, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are, by his definition, murderers, complainers, walking after their own lust, with their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in adoration because one man can do something for another. Advantage means that I'll take care of you, you take care of me. That's a simplicity of it, but it's a far greater evil that's taking place here, which we won't go into. 17. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last times who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These are those who have separated themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. There's no power in them. But ye, we love this verse, commonly spoken among us, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. As a result of that, it keeps or keeping yourself in the agape of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And this I love. This is where Jude is at. We heard these men pray, all of them so powerful. Every single one of them was just touching my heart. One of the prayers was, Lord, America, it still has the opportunity, if we intercede, to change. It still has a change. Listen, there's still opportunity. There's still opportunity. Ample opportunity. In fact, we live as a church as from a democratic mindset. God's not democratic. A democratic mindset means the majority rules. If every hand goes up as a nay and every hand goes up as a yay and the nays are two more, then the nays have it. That's not God. He's not democratic. God is all about intercessors. And everything that Jude listed here, let's just take a moment, and it won't take long, but let's look at it. Jude talked about those that were destroyed in the wilderness. Let's look at the shadow for just a moment, and then we'll look at something that Jesus said distinctly himself. Exodus chapter 32. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 32, look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down. For thy people which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves, and they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. God just brought them up. And in just a moment time, they're willing to turn their adoration from Jehovah into a molten calf. And they're actually making and saying, this is the image of the one that brought us up out of the land. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. Moses is up on the mount. He doesn't know what's going on. And behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone. God says this to Moses to start with. Now, this is an amazing scripture. God says to Moses, Moses, don't talk to me about what I'm about to tell you. Leave me alone. Let me tell you to start with, what we're about to see in intercession is prime examples of what intercessors do. And then to a greater value in which the Holy Spirit has given us through the power of tongues and through interpretation and speaking the mysteries and then listening to God and also listening as the Father takes us into places where we intercede for people's lives. I want to tell you this. You can't talk God into anything that He's not already concluded that He wants to do. But He will ask of you. I love that illustration that I've given before. Many of you have commented on it. Many of you have seen it yourself, and you picture it in same way but a different way. It's that hand reaching behind the door, reaching around. The Holy Spirit will kiss you. He said, let me kiss you with the kisses of my mouth. I just want to sit at Jesus' feet. I understand that part. There is a truth and a reality in that. I want His hand to be on my life. I understand that reality. Those are all precious in and of themselves. But I want to look right in His face. And I want His lips on mine. I'm a man's man. But there's one man, spiritually speaking, I want Him to kiss me face to face. His name is Jesus. Solomon said, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. That intimacy. From that, you know His heart. You know His heart is people. You know His heart is all about people. Now, a dialogue takes place here, but it's very serious, but it's almost comical in the sense of the word. You can't talk God into anything that He's not already predisposed to do. He's going to do it if He can find somebody that will stand in the gap. Now, He says to Moses, don't talk to me about this. Everybody see that? Leave me alone. The Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people. Now, verse 10, He says, now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and that I will make of thee a great nation. This is amazing. This is it. It's simple put. God brings them out. They sacrifice. God says, look, Moses, I'm about to do something because I'm really mad. I'm going to destroy this whole nation. Oh, but I'm going to keep my word to Abraham because you're Abraham's seed. But I'm going to restart with you. I'm going to start this whole thing over with you. He says, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord and said, why dost thou wrath wax hot against the people, thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore, he introduces this to God, and not as if God didn't already know this. Should the Egyptians speak and say, for the mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountain to consume them before the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Wow! That's powerful talk. Oh, you think God does evil? No. Moses is writing here in a way that they understood. He's actually trying to talk God and say, God, don't do this. This is a terrible thing. Listen, God's asking Moses to approach him. He's asking Moses, I want you to feel the same hurt and pain that my son is going to feel for all the earth one day. I'm asking you, thank God, he knew who to choose. He knew that Moses had his heart. A lot of preachers today would say, kill him. Kill them all. The Lord, isn't this amazing, repented of the evil which he thought to do to his people. And then the Bible goes on, we won't read. God says, okay, you talk me out of it. I won't kill them. Jude says that some of them fell in the wilderness. Now the story goes on, because of the love of God that was shed abroad and the mercy of God, the camp was saved, others fail. But intercession made a huge difference. It made a difference in a whole nation. One person stood up and said, God saved the nation, and God used him as a living example to turn his wrath against the nation. Listen, God wants to do something powerful in these last days in America. If we as the church fold, if we fold and concede and say, oh, look what's going on. Look at the homosexuality. Look at our college campuses. God wants us to believe that there's a revival that he wants to put in our college campuses, in our cities. If we say it's too far gone, judgment is coming. Yes, but there's a tremendous paradoxical thing that's going to take place. In the midst of all judgment in the last days, there's going to be burning fires of revival. And if we fold and say, I concede, I'll just live my Christianity, we have the power to make a tremendous difference. And whichever way it goes in certain cities, in certain colleges, in certain universities, in certain places in the world, it's really going to be left up to us. It's really left up to us. Hallelujah. How do you know? So some more. Let's turn to another portion of Scripture. And let's go to Genesis. We're backing up. Genesis 18. Okay. Didn't Jude speak of Sodom and Gomorrah as well? We won't read all of this. We can read enough of it to know. Here's Abraham. Here's actually somebody before Moses. Look at verse 17. Now, prior to this, I'll tell you real quick. Abraham's sitting. He's chilling in his tent. And he looks, and here comes the Lord and a couple of angels. God comes up. Here's a pronouncement of promise. But then the Lord also says this. You know, God has this dialogue as if he needed to have it. Should I hide the thing that I'm going to do from Abraham, seeing that he will be a great nation? I promised him. So the Lord reveals to him what his intent is, because years earlier, Abraham's nephew goes into the plains. Abraham takes the harder road. They separate because of their prosperity. And Lot goes in, which was Abraham's nephew. into the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah and surrounding cities. Sodom and Gomorrah were the two chief twin cities, but there were other cities that got destroyed in all this as well. Through the years Lot lived there, these cities developed and these cities flourished and these cities also became very perverted. Listen, anything that God ever had to do in judgment is always based on agape. If you know a fierce God apart from agape, you haven't got to know Him yet. If you know a judgmental God apart from agape, you don't know Him yet. I'm not demeaning you. I'm just saying get to know the wholeness of God. If you read the book of Revelation and you see as a judgment, awesome, beat Him up God. If you see Him apart from agape, you haven't read the book of Revelation yet. Everything He does is based on His love. Everything He does. If He has to bring judgment, it's because it's a basis of His love. So here He is intending on destroying the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of same-sex marriage, homosexuality. That was the essence of it. And a lot of other stuff. And the Lord said in verse 17, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and of the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they should keep the ways of the Lord and to do justice and judgment." Man, that's good. What a compliment. I know this man, and I know he's going to bring up his sons and daughters to love me. That's a pretty high compliment right there. That's high. Praise God. "That the Lord may bring forth Abraham that which he has spoken unto him. And the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because of their sins are very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me. If not, then I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, and Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abram drew near and said, Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Many of you have read this story, heard this story before, but it bears repeating. Preventure, or let's say perhaps. What if perhaps there are 50 righteous within the city? Wilt thou also destroy and not spare for the place of 50 righteous? He says, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and the righteous shall be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" He sounds just like Moses, doesn't he? And the Lord said, "Well, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake." Now, we're going to read this, and you know where it's going. You know it's going to progressively get smaller and smaller and smaller. And we're going to say, my God, what mercy. There's mercy to begin with. I mean, the cities, the twin cities and surrounding cities had to, even in antiquity, had to have thousands. Thousands. And it had gone to such a place. Listen, I know that we get kind of miffed, all of us who love God, but we have to watch also our mercy level. And we go to places and we see things and I've seen a couple of beautiful, beautiful young ladies yesterday walking down in Gulf Coast Town Center. And they'll never be, unless there's a revival, they'll never bear children. They'll never have the pleasure of being a mother. They walked hand in hand, and you could tell the spirit that was on them. And the very joy in which they were created for, to know the natural love of a man and to enjoy that natural beauty of motherhood. And Satan, it's not just the perversion of what happens between them intimately. It's everything else that's involved that takes away from their motherhood and from their ability to generate life and offspring of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, it's just so amazing. You know, it's amazing what Satan takes from them. That had gotten to the place that it had been. We sometimes will visit the Keys or San Francisco or someplace where it's heavily populated, and we think, oh, at the earth, we're just to the point of Sodom. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. It was so bad that Lot's... Read the story. Lot had two daughters that escaped with him. And here's the part. Here's the amazing part. When the men come to the door for the angels, Lot didn't know what to do. He offered his two virgin daughters that were already married. What does that tell you? Married women are not supposed to be virgins. They had husbands. But what were their husbands? It had so saturated the city until it had gotten way beyond anything that you and I understand. But God says, for 50, He starts out, wow, thousands? What a merciful God. He's not the God that you know. Get to know Him. Oh, there will come a day of judgment. But we are in grace right now. And He's asking intercessors to stand up in the earth and call on Him and believe Him for a great outpouring. What verse was I at? Perhaps if there be 50 within the city, be far from thee. 25, the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city. 26, I will spare. Abraham said, verse 27, behold, now I have taken upon me the speaking of the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Good boy, Abraham, humble yourself. Perhaps if there was, you know, 5 less than 50, will you destroy it, the city, for if it lacked 5? And he said, well, 45, no, I will not destroy. And he spake unto him yet again and said, well, perhaps if there should be 40. He's dropping it 5 at a time. Hallelujah. Abraham was a good barterer. If there's be 40, and he said, I will not for 40, I'll save it. And he said unto him, well, don't let the Lord be angry. You know, he's thinking, and I'll speak, perhaps if there was 30, if there was be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 30. And he said, well, behold, now I take upon me to speak to the Lord, perhaps if there were 20 be found there. And he said, I will not destroy for 20. And he said, now in verse 32, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but once, perhaps if there was 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way, and soon as he had left, communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. I don't know if Abraham would have had the tenacity. Could he have asked again? He went away with himself and 2 more. That's 3. He only lacked 7 for 10. Man, God was asking somebody to stand up. He was asking somebody, what if Abraham said, look, 50 souls? What if there was 50,000 people? What if there was 50,000 people that lived in those twin cities and surrounding? We would think, dust, the God that most Christians know, we think He's going to burn them. He's going to burn them. And we think sometimes like we are the minority, and so God's going to bring judgment. God does not go off of minorities. In fact, He enjoys them. But what He does look for is intercessors. He looks for men and women who will stand in the gap and say, I believe that my prayers, my praying in tongues, and my speaking to God in English or in Spanish or in legible language to me, understandable language to me, as He gives me utterances, I believe that I can make a difference. Now, last witness. Let's get 3 witnesses on this. Jesus spoke in Matthew's Gospel. chapter 11. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Matthew 11, verse 20. Jesus also, a good Jewish young man and understanding Jewish history and everything that God had created from the beginning of the world, he spoke concerning these things, and he said he was upbraiding the cities. Upbraiding means he was rebuking them. He had no pleasure in them. Wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Now, everything that Jesus did, we're after. I know it's an awesome, ambitious cry, but let's go for it. Let's believe. Let's believe that we are the generation to receive Christ back into the earth. Let's believe that the works that he did, I'll do also. So the works that he did, we don't have to go through them all, but blind see, lame walk, deaf, everywhere he went, in a very respectful state of saying it was a three-ring circus. He was healing, ministering, and everything was going on around him. I mean, things, angels were working with him like crazy. He was moving forward, backward, laterally. He was moving everything he did. And when he goes into a city, I was talking to these guys yesterday, and we were talking about some men of God and people that we respect. And I said to them, here's the mark of where we're at or where we're headed. We don't want to just go into a place and just, and I'm not demeaning this part of just teach the gospel. We want to demonstrate the gospel. We want collateral damage. In other words, when you say, I went there and came back and God had me preach, wow, that's awesome. What happened? Well, I preached the word. What else? Preach the word. Hey, the church is full of revelation. You know? Sort of. Yeah, sort of is right. What about collateral damage? What are you talking about? Once the word was taught, 20 got saved, 15 got healed, 3 got devils cast out of them. We saw some arms grow out, some legs grow out. 4 got healed from cancer. Collateral damage. I mean, things happen. I mean, you tear it up. People talk about it. They're not talking about you, but they're talking about, whoa, something happened. You know what? That changes atmospheres. It changes atmospheres. And what has happened to the church, it has been too seminar-minded, and it hasn't been power enough-minded. And Jesus talks about this, and he says, woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which had been done, or which if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it is going to be more tolerable, less judgment, for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Now he distinguishes his own city, his headquarters. Woe unto you, Capernaum, which are exalted to the heavens, thou shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, this is Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. What a powerful statement. Jesus said this. You know, we just read where Abraham got him down to 10. But Jesus said, look, if the works of power, it never was God's real intent. He never, even though they were wicked, he wanted an intercessor. But what's the greater? He wants power in the earth. Jesus said, look, had the works that I've been doing in Capernaum, if I could have walked into a perverted society and the power fell on that place and they watched the power, he said Sodom and Gomorrah would have remained until this day. Hallelujah. What does that tell us about our generation? No matter what perversion is around us, no matter what demoralization is around us, God has given us the power to walk in and say, we can make a difference. It doesn't matter that we're the minority. What if it's 1,000-to-1 odds? It does not matter. Don't fold. Don't cave in. Don't say it's over. It's not over. Judgment has not yet come. There will be an end time judgment. But we're going to save city after city. We're going to save campus after campus. We're going to have an impact. And Jesus said, I'll tell you what, had I been around and they had a visitation from me, God would not have destroyed them. God would have saved them, because there would have been a whole-scale citywide repentance that would have caused something to happen to change all of their lives. And that's what we get the opportunity today as intercessors, to stand up and say, I will fight. I will believe. I'll not use my mouth to say it's over. It's not over. We get something to say about this. The righteous blood of Jesus Christ cries out from the cross, hey, somebody come. Somebody come and take my mind. My mind is for these people. My heart is for these people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for the power of your gospel. We're just really tired of trying to be smart. We're tired of trying to be innovative, trying to figure out how to be relative. All the cute, corny phrases like let's be relative to our generation, somehow reach them. Father, what they want is truth. What they want is power. Father, teach us. Teach us to give them the power.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I chilled with my peeps. Homer knows of 50,000 more slang than me. But you know what? These guys, they love being with me. And other guys, these guys, they're not concerned about me being relative to them. They enjoy it. You know, they enjoy it when I just have a good time with them. You know, and I'll say something about, hey, did we get treated right? They always treat us black people like this. What? But here's the deal. It's not my being relative to them and chilling and trying to be like them that draws them to me. They know I'm 50. They're in their 20s. They're single. Our worlds in that sense will never be totally together. But our camaraderie is this. Truth. Truth. I was talking to them about college campuses and, you know, where the politics are at and stuff. And they're all in college in some way or the other. And they said one guy that, you know, this amazed me. And he doesn't have a big following. Obviously, he will not be part of the president. And he's one of the oldest guys. I don't know what he's doing to touch the college campuses. But here's the thing. It's not how you speak to people. Some, you know, the whole thing is learn the lingo. Learn this. Get on the inside of them. Listen, I can win as many college campus people. I can win as many as Hell's Angels, as Rex, or anybody. You can too if you walk in truth. You don't have to speak. It's good. It's good if you know a few of them, a few kind of things as an inroad. What people are looking for is truth. And they'll say, hey, this guy, he's a square in a box. I don't really, but this guy, he believes what he's talking about. She believes. She believes. She believes in what they're saying. The thing of it is it's not relevancy. It's truth that they want. All people, young and old, want truth. And they want love. They want acceptance. I call them all born again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you bow with me for just a moment in prayer? If you're here this morning and you are not totally sure of your eternal destiny, if I was to ask you the question privately, are you going to heaven? And you said, yes. And then if I said to you, why? If you said to me, I have trusted in the blood of Jesus, I have asked Christ into my heart, and I believe that He has come in and changed my life, then I could say, I believe you. If you said to me, I'm doing my best, that's not the right answer. If you said, I've trusted in the prayers of my pastor, that's not the right answer. If you said to me, I've trusted in the prayers of Mary, that's not the right answer. If you said to me, I'm doing my best, I haven't stole lately, I haven't committed adultery lately, those are not the right answers. There's only one right answer. It's your trust in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, that can all change in just a moment's time. You don't have to join this church. In fact, you don't have to. You're welcome to come back every service, but you don't ever have to come back. But you do, at some point in your life, have to receive Jesus into your life to go to heaven. The simplicity of that is this. Accept what He did personally for you. He hung on a cross. He bled and died. Now you must believe that that sacrifice was for you and for you alone, and your identification is in that. Meaning this, if you say, Jesus, I receive that sacrifice, come into my life, then all of your sins, everything that you've ever done, will be washed away. And the Bible says you become a new person, meaning there will be a change on the inside of you. From that day forward, you will be given strength to follow Jesus. It's just that simple. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to give money to a church. You don't have to do anything except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning, I'm going to ask all of us to pray that prayer. Now, if you would please, so everybody will feel very private, if everybody will close your eyes and kind of get in a prayer, a posture of prayer. If you need that prayer prayed for you specifically, would you raise your hand? If you're here this morning and you would like for me to pray for you. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. I knew the Holy Spirit was dealing with you. And another one in the back. I see your hand. This whole day has been meant for you, sir. God's got a hold of a man's heart. We're all going to pray. And I'm going to ask you that is listening and raised your hand to pray this prayer. All of us pray it together. We're going to pray in unison. And all you have to do is just believe it. Just to the best of your ability, believe the words that you say. Say this together with me. Lord Jesus,
I believe
that you came and that you died
for my sins.
Lord Jesus,
I receive you
as my personal Savior.
I believe
that you
died on that cross
for me.
Jesus,
come into my life.
Forgive me
of all my sins.
Lord Jesus,
I receive you
as my Savior
and my Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I believe right now
that you are washing me
on the inside.
Dear Heavenly Father,
I believe
that as of this day,
I have received Christ
and I am a Christian.
I thank you
for my new life
and my walk
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise God.
Somebody receive the Lord this morning?
Praise God.
That person would like to just stand and us give them a hand clap. I'd really appreciate it. They don't have to, but just if you'd like.
Yeah,
I can see it all over your face. Hallelujah.
God bless you, my brother.
Yes,
you received Jesus Christ this morning. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Reuben, do you know these guys? All right, Reuben will be the one. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you would like to bless the Lord with your giving this morning? Well, I'm going to keep preaching. Let's see, we're going to preach another. No, I'm just kidding. I know with all that, you'd love to bless the Lord. Would you ask the Lord what He'd have you to give this morning and believe Him to prosper this church and to cause it to be abundantly blessed? We don't say we don't have some big exhortations when He does ask us to speak. We do. But most of the time, it's about like this. And I just believe God that He will sponsor this church. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Father, I love You. I thank You that whatever You call, You also sponsor. Whatever You put in the earth, You'll also finance. And so, Father, I believe that we receive the abundance of Your blessings this day according to grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mr. Matt's going to give us something to worship the Lord. I bless all of you. Wonderful day in Christ. Have a wonderful day tomorrow. Thank you for coming. Bring your gifts as if you have any. Greet our brother in the Lord and tell him how thankful you are for the work that took place in his life. In Jesus' name, be blessed.